Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for this morning is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, as we conclude our Lenten series with our Easter message. The text reads, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they had laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you.' And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." Here ends our reading. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. This morning, we wake up and it is different. There's no rush to make it to church for the sunrise service. There's no people busy in the fellowship hall preparing our Easter breakfast. There's no extra music. There's no extra people in the church. There's just us. Perhaps you're watching from home with a nice cup of coffee, sitting in your PJs still. Or you are watching this service at a later time. It matters not. However you have come to join us to worship our Lord and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, God be praised. So let us this morning conclude our series and consider the view of the view from the angel's eyes. I'm talking about the eyes of the Easter angel in the empty tomb of Jesus. It's funny that we can call it the empty tomb, since Mark's account depicts the tomb being a bit overcrowded that first Easter morning. The two Marys and Salome were shocked to discover the large stone rolled away from the tomb. They went inside to investigate, and they're startled not to find Jesus dead inside, but a young man dressed in a white, an angel of the Lord. Their alarm was most likely twofold. First, they were distressed. There's no Jesus. What have they done with Jesus? And now, the angel of the Lord. And whenever they appear, it seems to be kind of scary. Despite what you see in the figurines and the artist's depictions, God's angels, usually appear, they appear as majestic creatures who strike fear into the hearts of onlookers. That's why the first words out of the mouth of the angels are often, "Do not be afraid." On Easter morning, this is exactly what happens as the angel says to the terrified women, "Do not be alarmed." They don't need to fear this angel, since he has come in peace to be the bearer of good news. The word we translate as angel simply means messenger. So bringing the gospel is his main job. He announces that they don't need to fear what happened to the body of Jesus, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. So the angel continues, "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. You see, the angel directs the women to see with their own eyes that Jesus isn't there, and then explain what his own eyes have witnessed. He knows they are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Another way of translating that is, who is the crucified one? Which is very significant. You see, the women had gazed upon Jesus suffering for the sins of the whole world under his father's wrath on the cross. They had looked on as Joseph of Arimathea buried Jesus, but that's all they had seen. The angel, however, has seen the resurrection of Jesus with his own eyes, but he still calls him the crucified one. Later that afternoon, Jesus would appear to 10 of the apostles and prove his identity by showing them the nail and spear marks in his hands and side. The next Sunday, Jesus invites doubting Thomas to touch those wounds, which turns him into believing Thomas as he cries out to the crucified one, "My Lord and my God." Still later, St. Paul would encounter the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus and then write to the church at Corinth, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And again, Paul characterized his preaching to the Galatians this way, "It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." You might be saying to yourself, "But Pastor, it's Easter, let's get past Good Friday. Why all this focus still on the crucifixion?" Because the cross must always be the center of our theology, the focal point of our life. A God who has not been crucified on our behalf would be of no good to us at all. Look through the angel's eyes and see that Jesus is the crucified one, put to death for our sins. The cross is our life. St. Paul wrote, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." Of course, the resurrection is essential also. We also need to see through the angel's eyes that Jesus was raised on Easter for our justification. Good Friday and Easter are like two sides of the same coin. You can't buy anything with a one-sided coin. Jesus couldn't pay for our salvation only by dying or only by living, but by doing both. He had to actively obey God's law on our behalf and passively suffer for our sins against the law. He had to actively fight Satan, whom we couldn't defeat, and die for all the times that we have fallen for the devil's temptations. He had to go into the grave and deposit all our sins there. And he had to come out alive in order to grant us forgiveness of sins and his own righteousness. After the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus continues the pattern established on this first Easter by hiding himself from the sight of his disciples, and by using angels to proclaim his death and resurrection. Though we are like the women at the tomb and cannot see Jesus with our own eyes, the reliable testimony of the Easter angel is recorded in the Scriptures. It's the precious gospel that we should always keep before our eyes. Though Jesus remains hidden from our physical sight, he has continued to send angels ever since his resurrection, to testify of his presence among us. No, I'm not talking about angels from heaven, but earthly angels who proclaim the gospel. Remember, angel simply means messenger. In the Bible, angel doesn't necessarily imply a heavenly being. The very human and mortal John the Baptist, for example, is called God's angel or messenger. After his resurrection, Jesus sent his apostles out to be his angels, his messengers, to preach the gospel to the whole of creation. And those angel apostles appointed everywhere, they went pastors and teachers to continue sharing the good news of Good Friday and Easter. Just as the heavenly angel Gabriel visited Mary with the wonderful news that the Lord was with her in the incarnation, now the earthly angel or messenger proclaim to all who believe and all who are baptized that the Lord Jesus is with them until the end of the age. Just as the angel of the Lord brought good tidings of great joy for all people to the shepherds at Christmas, now earthly angels proclaim the glad tidings of great joy that Christ has died for all, for sin of the whole world, and has risen to declare all humans righteous, so that they may be saved by believing this message. Or have you not heard? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. There was nothing particularly angelic about Christ's apostles then, or about Christian pastors today. We are a pretty sorry lot when you look at us. Nobody would look at me and say, "He's got angel eyes." But what apostles and pastors of Christ do have are beautiful feet. Well, not literally. My gnarled toes would scare most people. But according to the prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. In other words, the footsteps of angels who preach the gospel are to us beautiful because they proclaim the beautiful message of Christ. And Paul continues in telling us that faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Today, we receive this word of Christ through the messengers he has called to preach to you here at Pilgrim. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Baptized into his death and resurrection, we are now clothed with his righteousness, which grants us eternal salvation. And recognize that Jesus comes today in the Lord's Supper to feed his followers with his true body given and his true blood shed for the forgiveness of sins, all hidden under bread and wine. We don't see Jesus with us, but through his messengers, his angels, he announces that he has promised to be here. So we see him through the eyes of faith. After communion, we see, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Now my eyes have seen the salvation." But before that, we look under the bread and the wine and worship Christ through angels' eyes as we gather with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven around Christ's glorious throne. On Easter, the angel told the women where they could find Jesus. Likewise, today, I have the same message. Jesus has promised that you may find him in his word and in his sacraments. He is not hidden. He is risen just as he said. May our eyes always then stay fixed on Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our salvation. For hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.